Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Radio. I am your host, Ed in San Antonio, and today I am joined by my special guest, Chelsea Green, who you may know or may have seen on WWE not that long ago as Megan Miller, and she also wrestles currently in Canada, and she's going to have to help me pronounce her wrestling name in Canada because I'm actually not sure how to say it.
Hello, it's Jada.
Oh, Jada, okay.
Jada.
I always see names, and for some reason, I make it more difficult in my head.
You know what? You're not the only person. Trust me.
Now, the reason I've asked you on the show is a few weeks ago, I had asked Lance Storm if he wanted to do the show. He does a show very regularly. And he said that he couldn't do it that night because he was picking up and starting class. And I kind of got the idea to ask him if he could help me interview one of his female students just to get their perspective of going to wrestling school. And he suggested you, so I'm glad to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. When did you become a wrestling fan, and when did you make the decision to decide that you were going to go to wrestling school and get into this crazy business?
Well, I didn't grow up a diehard wrestling fan, like a lot of people that go to Lance's school, but I have always been a fan. My sister and I actually weren't allowed to watch wrestling growing up, so we always had to sneak up and turn the TV on really, really low so my parents didn't know. But, of course, I think every female out there is a Trish Stratus fan, right? But I was living in Calgary and was hearing a lot about the wrestling community with Lance living there and the Harts living there and a lot of really amazing indie talent coming out of Calgary. And I thought, you know, I've been very active my whole life. Why couldn't I do that? Why couldn't I try to be a diva? So I ended up giving Lance a call and saying, hey, do you mind if I meet you at your school and just, like, kind of chat about things with you? And he was very open to that. He answered all of my questions, and I just thought, how could I not give this a try? Like, yeah, having a teacher like Lance, right?
Yeah, yeah, Lance is, he was one of the, in my opinion, one of the most, I wouldn't want to say underrated, but I don't think anyone underrates Lance. He just, you know, probably, I think he should have done more than he did, but he was never one to politics, and, you know,
yeah.
But he did have a great career, ECW, WCW, WWE, and now he's been training quite a number of people, quite a handful in NXT, and other students from competing all over the world, actually, because he gets students from everywhere.
Now,
when you met Lance Storm that first time, did he ever smile? That's the first question I have to ask.
You know what? I might have got maybe a small smirk out of him that first day. But, see, maybe he had more of a soft spot for me than some of the other students because I was always kind of trying to make jokes and like, kind of take everything a little bit lightly. But it's hard to get a smile out of him.
Yeah, there's a lot of photos where he just has this grin of it's hard to tell what he's thinking, but he's an awesome guy. Like I say, he comes out on the show a lot. When you did make that decision to go to Lance's school, and you showed up, how many people were in the class, and how many girls other than you were in there, if any?
I believe there was it was his biggest class. It might have been just under 20. And there was only one other girl. She was from Israel.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. He really gets people from all over the world. When he says that, he is not joking. Literally from everywhere.
Yeah, I know there's been like just dozens and dozens of people from Australia that go. I think like it seems like every wrestler I've ever heard of from Australia, I think it seems like they went to Lance's school.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to learn from the best.
Yeah. So you and another girl show up with 18 other guys. You're very athletic, but were you intimidated at all, or were you ready to just jump in head first?
You know what? Yes, I was intimidated, but not so much because of the guys. Actually, I was more intimidated because it's something completely out of my comfort zone. And I'm a very competitive person by nature. So when I get somewhere and I don't actually know what I'm doing or I don't know how to do something right away, that really bugs me. But you quickly realize that there are plenty of people in the same boat as you. You know, you're not the only one. And even the people who can wrestle go to Lance's school to really perfect or to tweak their skills. So everyone is in the same boat.
And now that the first day, what exactly is the first wrestling lesson that Lance Storm has you guys take?
The first move, did you say? Sorry?
Well, the first move, or what is the very first class center around? Does he jump right into training, or does he talk and go
over
things?
He does. He chats with you. So the very first day is talking about how everything's going to go. But the next day, we come to class, day two, and we do 30 minutes to an hour of cardio and kind of drills and things. And then we get right into training and we start learning our roles, our, you know, the fundamentals, the roles and the locking up and things like that.
So would locking up, I guess that would be one of the very first things you learn?
Well, the roles are the very first thing we learn, and then comes locking up because, you know, you've got to learn the very basics.
Now, one of the things that a lot of women wrestlers get criticized for is their running of the ropes. how did that go for you or just for everyone in the class? I mean, I've actually heard that it's very difficult, and I also hear that it, like, totally destroys your back as far as, like, blood vessels and you're very bruised up. When you first learned how to run the ropes, how did that go, and how long did it take you before you stopped bruising up?
I still bruise. So I just got in the ring last week and ran ropes, and I was bruised and I was cut up. I think if you're in a match and you're, you know, kind of running ropes, then maybe you don't bruise anymore. But when you're training, you're always bruising. But, you know, when I first got in the ring, I had no idea that running the ropes was like this technique that they had. And you had to take a certain amount of steps and be fluid and this and that. But Lance is a really, really good teacher, and he really makes you run the ropes or you know, keep rolling or something until you've got it down, until you can do it naturally. So by the end of the class, I personally was fine with running ropes. And it's helped me throughout my career because I do realize there's a lot of people who don't know how to do it properly. And not even just girls, so many guys out there that don't know how to do it either. So that class, that's a very important one.
Yeah, I can imagine Lance being very strict and making sure that everyone does their thing right compared to like a lot of indie wrestling schools where the trainers aren't very experienced themselves. So, yeah, I can see
that. And sometimes, you know, there's trainers that maybe just think they kind of overlook that. They don't think that that's a big deal. But when you get in the ring, you know, your timing is everything.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure not that long after you guys started taking bumps. What did your very first bump feel like?
Oh my gosh, it was terrifying. And even Lance would tell you that I was so awful at taking bumps at first. It was like, that's totally unnatural. Who in their right mind falls just on their back, on their shoulders, on, like, you know, you feel like you're going to fall on your head. It's terrifying. But it's one of those things you just have to keep doing. You have to keep repeating. And with repetition, it gets better. And it starts to feel natural. It feels natural to me now, but I really know it's not a natural thing to do.
Now, did you ever, like, kind of hurt yourself? Or, like, those first ones when you were kind of scared to do it, did you ever bump wrong, or did it just, were you able to even learn pretty quickly, or?
Actually, I was speaking to a couple of girls the other day, a couple of wrestlers, and we all agreed that those first few days, if not that first week of bumping, you honestly feel like you have whiplash, and you probably do, because you're falling, you're trying so hard to tuck your neck, but you're falling on your back. Your head is whipping back and forth. A lot of the times you forget to tuck your chin in, and so you are hitting your head. So that's a major thing. And then there's also, I had a strange injury. I started bumping, and I was throwing my arms back onto the mat really hard, and so in turn I pulled quite a few muscles going up my back. So then when I was starting to bump, I was bumping on those sore muscles, and it was kind of feeling like I was knocking the wind out of myself. So that was a strange one.
Uh-huh. And how long do you think it took you before you were actually able to take, I guess you could say, a perfect bump, or a bump where, you know, you just take it and, you know, you don't really feel it or anything?
Yeah, I would say probably 2 weeks before I just felt comfortable taking a bump and I didn't think about it, or I didn't get nervous before I took that bump. I mean, even now I don't take perfect bumps, but after that 2 weeks, it starts to feel a little bit more comfortable.
How long does it take Lance before he starts getting into like movesets, like, you know, drop down, tackle, and all those kind of things? When do you start moving to the point where you're doing more than just one thing?
I believe, so it's a 3-month course with Lance, and I believe that's probably in the second month, because the first month we're trying to get those fundamentals down, but at the end of the first month we did do a couple of things, we did start to learn some moves. But I would say the second month is kind of more so where we're starting to get to moving around in the ring and putting a couple of things together, and then by the end of that second month we're doing a little bit more complex moves, and we're starting to put together, you know, maybe a whole shine spot or a whole opening sequence and things like that.
Now, when you said it was you and another girl in the class, did Lance show any kind of favoritism to you two, or did he treat you two just the same way that he treated all the guys?
Yeah, he treated us exactly the same. But to be fair, he would, you know, kind of take us aside and show us, okay, here's how the girls do it, or here's the safer way to do it, in the sense that, you know, I'm not a man, so I'm not going to be as strong as a man, and so I would rather learn the safer way, or the way that maybe, you know, isn't as heavy, or things like that. I definitely I definitely liked that he took us aside and showed us things like that. And then there's also a couple of things that girls do more often than guys. And maybe that's, for example, maybe some sort of head scissor takedown or something. There might just be little things that he knows that there's a lot of girls that like to do. And so he would show us something like that. But otherwise, no, he showed us he did the exact same things with us that he did with all of the males in the class.
Well, that's actually pretty good, because I've interviewed some other, like, well-known indie women, and some of them have told me that they didn't learn, like, a lot of to do things like a girl until they met more experienced veteran women wrestlers that told them, you know, different things. So that's actually good that you learned that right from the beginning. That's actually pretty cool.
It is. I'm really glad, because then I came in, into the indie scene, and I was actually able to wrestle guys if I needed to. And that's a big thing, because we don't have a lot of female indie wrestlers up here on the West Coast. And so, sometimes you do need to get in the ring with a guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did the guys treat you? Did they treat you when they practiced with you, did you ever get the opinion some of them may have been afraid to maybe hurt you or...
Oh, yeah. It still happens.
Uh-huh.
It
and,
still
uh,
happens. They guys, they, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that are just really afraid to hurt a girl when you get in the ring. But maybe that's a good thing. That probably translates to good things outside the ring for that male.
Yeah, that is true. Now, when going back to the training, when did I know Lance always, one of the key points when he like plugs the school on like the Wrestling Observer shows is he talks about that you get to wrestle a match with Lance, and I'm assuming that Lance is constantly working with you guys throughout the 3 months, you know, maybe not doing a whole match, but constantly in there. How hands-on is Lance? Because there's like, you hear a lot of schools where they may have like an old veteran guy who really doesn't work with you, it's somebody else. But how hands-on is Lance as far as him getting body slammed or him getting chopped or something like that?
You know what? He is completely 100% hands-on. He will pick someone kind of at the beginning of training that he knows has wrestling experience before, and sometimes he might get them to demonstrate it so that he can speak us through it. But other than that, he does absolutely every single thing himself. And actually, he let me body slam him. Me! So, I mean, you know, like, if he's letting me body slam him, I'm pretty sure he does basically everything that we learn, he's done for us, which is great, because it's hard to learn from someone who may not be doing it properly. And I have seen that before. Or, you know, they're teaching us the way that they do things, but that might not be the way that other people do those same moves. So yeah, Lance got in the ring and showed us all the moves, all the bumps, all the sequences that we needed to know.
Now, when Lance is taking, like, maybe, like, let's say he's got a student body slamming him or suplexing him, and say something goes wrong and the student totally screws up, and how does Lance react to that? Does he get angry, or does he just calmly get up and say, okay, look, this is what you have to do?
Yeah, he's really calm. Like, to be fair, I wouldn't be as calm as him. He is very calm. There are times, of course, like anyone, where he gets frustrated, because if you're going through a simple roll and you've done it 20 times and you can't roll, it's frustrating. You know, you've got 19 other kids standing here watching, waiting to get up and do the same thing. And so there was a couple times when it was just like, oh, okay, just go back to the, you know, go to the back of the line. We don't need to try this anymore. But other than that, he was really understanding. I mean, we definitely had a class that was a little further behind. There was a lot of people that had never stepped in the ring before, me being one of them. And so I think that he had to go quite a bit slower for us. But if that's almost as bad as it gets, then I'd say he's pretty patient.
Mm-hmm. Now, you hear, like, stories from, like, let's say the WCW power plant where they try and to, like, they try and, like, run, they actually try and run people off. I know Lance wouldn't do that, but how many people from that 20 did not make it all the way to the end of the class?
I think we had about 5 people that didn't make it to the end. And, you know, yes, there are people who try to run people out of the business. And Lance doesn't do that, but he does weed people out, which I think is totally necessary in this business. He does, you know, he does do the cardio, which weeds people out at the very beginning, because you have to be able to get through that cardio. And if you can't, you know, so long, you should be out the door. And he is hard on you. He makes sure, you know, that he tells you exactly how he's feeling. And if you can't take that, well, then you can't take the wrestling business. Still, 5 people out of 20, I mean, if that left, I think that's pretty awesome. There's a lot of people that really stuck with us.
Well, that's good. That's good. And I guess the cardio, is that where would most people, the ones that left, was it because of the cardio or was it just because, you know?
Everyone left for completely different reasons. We had some guys at the beginning who just didn't show up. We had quite a few guys like sitting out a couple days. We had people that got injured. So it was all sorts of different reasons. But you never know what their real reasons are then, to be fair.
It's amazing how someone would actually approach Lance, pay Lance, and then not show up. It's kind of, that kind of blows my mind.
Isn't that crazy? It's so disrespectful. But on top of that, it's like, well, obviously you really don't care about wrestling and you really don't want to be a wrestler because you sewer yourself right there by doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Now when you finally got to have your first full match with Lance, how long did he let the match go? And is he calling everything or does he let you kind of like work it? How does the big match with Lance go? How did it go for you?
It's usually about in between 8 to 12 minutes. I don't think it should be – I don't think they're any longer than 12 minutes ever, usually 10 minutes. But you get in the ring, and you kind of plan a couple spots beforehand with him. But other than that, he calls everything, which is great because when you're getting in the ring with a veteran, usually that's what happens. They're going to call the match for you. You're not really going to call the match. And you're going to learn by other people calling matches. You're going to learn how to do that yourself. So, yeah, you get in the ring, and he kind of calls everything, and you just have to make sure that you're listening to everything he says.
Now, besides calling moves and stuff like that, I know you're probably just doing these matches, I would assume, just in the gym in front of the other students.
Yeah.
This, besides calling the moves, does he tell you, okay, you need to stop and look at the crowd or look toward the crowd, or does he do those little things?
Yeah, he does. Like, he'll put you in a headlock, and if you're going too fast or you're too wound up, he'll say, okay, relax, relax. He's constantly saying relax or slow down all the time, which I definitely needed.
Cool. And after that match, what did he say to you? What was his take on the match?
You know what? Him and I had 2 or 3 matches, actually. And it's always the same thing. Like, really, you can't have a bad match with Lance Storm. Like, I don't think it's really all that possible because he's going to make the match into something that's pretty good. He's not going to have a bad match. But there's certain things that I personally needed to work on, like slowing down and relaxing and taking the time to do every move properly instead of going quickly. But I think that's a lot of new wrestler problems, is just going too fast because you're nervous.
Now, on some of the interviews we've done with Lance, he'll talk about like students who are just, you know, they show up and the first thing they want to learn is how to do moonsaults.
yeah.
How long does Lance even teach like high spots like that, or how long before he starts to let you guys do stuff like that? if at all.
With our class, he didn't. But that saying that, I would assume that's because we were quite far behind all the other classes. I know that there are classes where he did teach that, but he, in that situation, he would pick and choose, you know, who maybe is a high-flying type or going to be a high-flying type, or who has some gymnastics abilities, or, you know, there might be someone that comes in early or stays later after the class, and he'll teach you the moves that you want to learn. There was a couple of little things that he taught me when I came in before the classes. But he doesn't just kind of, you know, go through and do crazy moves for everyone to try, because really you don't need that. You can have a successful match without those high spots.
Yes. Yeah. It's always better to learn your basics than just, you know, like some of the schools that's, you know, they'll teach like that. And then they'll get in the ring, go 100 miles an hour. They'll never once react to the crowd or look at the crowd. So yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You need to perfect the basics before you really start doing things like that. And I only just asked him a couple months ago, you know, hey, what's a kind of a safe move that I can do off the top rope? So because I didn't really need that in my repertoire. Now it's something that at least I can pull out if I need to.
Okay, speaking of coming off the ropes, I saw a picture on Twitter the other day, and I'm assuming you jumped off the top turnbuckle, but it actually looks like you, like, jumped off the roof of the building you were so high.
Are those funny pictures? I know, honestly, I must jump really high just off the turnbuckle.
Yeah, it looked like you were, that's one of the highest jumps. Maybe it's because you had your knees up. But
I do a drop kick off the top rope, but I like for effect to jump high and like kind of crouch like a ninja before I go to do the drop kick, and then it always comes out with the best pictures, and literally looks like I am flying down from the roof.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool, and I was like, wow, that kind of. I was like, man, that girl's got some hops to her.
Yeah, right?
Now, you had mentioned, like, on talking about, like, when Lance was weeding people out and that people have to be able to take criticism and stuff like that. So I have to ask you, what's the hardest thing that Lance ever said to you that, you know, that maybe you took, like, kind of like, wow, and maybe, like, it's like, I can't believe he said that, or did he ever say anything that was, like, really strong like that, or was he more positive, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I wouldn't say he said anything like that to me. There was a couple of students where, yeah, he definitely said things that I think were probably eye-opening, like, you know, I don't think that you're cut out for this. I can't imagine if I was told that, you know. One thing he said I remember is after I did a promo, and I actually really didn't know what promos were. And of course, I'm sitting at home before class thinking, like, what in the heck am I going to say for this promo? I don't even know what a promo is. So I go up there and I do my promo, and he was like, really? That was your promo? And I was just like, oh, crap. Like, I don't even know what I just said. So that was kind of eye-opening, because now, after that, and, you know, that wasn't even really critique, but after that, I listen and take in everyone's promos. All of the good, all of the bad, I try to make mental notes on what I would change or how I would rephrase those things. So I think all the comments that he made to me during our promo classes were the ones that really stuck with me.
Okay. And what would you say would be the single best advice that he ever gave you?
I think probably, I can't say the single advice, but he gave us a lot of advice about how to act in the locker room and how to act around, you know, our coworkers and things like that. And there are things that you can really take. It's not just for wrestling. You can really take that advice and use it anywhere. And it really has helped me in the wrestling world. Even things like You walk into that locker room and you make sure you shake every single person's hand. I may have been too shy to do that had I not known that that is what you do in wrestling. You go and shake every single person's hand. And I'm just really glad that he sat us down and told us all of the little things about the business that maybe other trainers wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, and that's really good because I've actually discussed that with him before. And
yeah.
he'll say that you could ruin your career before you even get into the ring in the WWE. Just climb.
Yes, and that's just it, right? Like that's exactly what he says, and it's so true. If you lack any social skills, you know, how can a company like that hire you? Because the next guy is going to walk in and he's going to have a better smile than you, a better greeting than you, a better handshake than you, and they're going to choose that guy.
Now, did he tell you to take like a banana or power bar to the show? Because I remember one of the things he told us was that do not go to catering until you've shaken everyone's hand, because the last thing you want to do is walk up to Triple H while he's eating and try and shake his hand. Did he get as specific as that with you, or was he?
Yeah, he got pretty specific with us. But to be honest, that kind of those little tips, I didn't retain as much because I just kind of know that, you know, mm-hmm. like it is just common sense anyway. And I was so nervous when I was at WWE that I was too scared to even go into catering for the first 2 days.
Really?
It's terrifying.
I can imagine it's very intimidating and terrifying.
Yeah.
And speaking of WWE, like to say earlier, a lot of people may know you as Megan Miller, who you were the physical therapist of Daniel Bryan, who claimed that you had an affair with him, and then Brie Bella slapped the shit out of you.
Yeah, the home wrecking physical therapist.
How did you actually get the chance to I know every time Raw or SmackDown goes somewhere, they always have talent come in, enhancement talent or, you know, as extras. And how did it come about for you were able to be one of the people there? And then how did you actually get the part of Megan Miller? How did they approach you and tell you what you were going to do that night?
Well, I went to go do extra work. So I was on tour with High Impact Wrestling in Saskatchewan. I got called asking if I would do 4 days of extra work with WWE. So usually that means being a rosebud. So I was a rosebud for the first 2 days, and they came up to me that second day and they were like, oh, we have, you know, a little spot that we would like you to do if you're willing to do it. It's just, you're just going to take a couple pictures with Daniel Bryan, no big deal. And I was like, yeah, sure. And they're like, okay, just make sure you come see, come check in tomorrow and we'll go get the pictures taken. Little did I know that I would actually be going out to the ring and speaking in front of a million people. That was totally not what I thought I was doing. But you know what? It was just, honestly, luck of the draw that I got that spot. And I knew when they handed me that script and I read it, I knew that, you know, it's sink or swim. I have to do well or this company is never going to take a second look at me. And so thank gosh, I pulled it off.
Yeah, I thought it was a great segment. Now, when you're walking through the gorilla position right before you go through the curtains or do the Titantron, what are you thinking? You're still very new to this business, and you're walking out in front of 3-4 million people in front of a packed house, you know, which I would imagine that would have been the biggest house that you had worked at until that weekend. What was going through your head, if anything at all?
Well, they snuck me in and I was sitting in the audience and they pulled me out from the audience. So that was even more terrifying because I actually had to sit there through the whole Dean Ambrose, I think it was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins match. I'm like mentally preparing in my head, but watching this amazing match, and people are kind of looking at me like, who are you? You weren't here last match. Like, what are you doing sitting beside us? And then standing up when Stephanie McMahon called my name and getting into that ring, it was so terrifying, but so amazing all at the same time. And I mean, once you get up there and you're speaking, you know, if you kind of get that first line or two out, you're good. You're just, you're going to keep going. And as long as you kind of get on the right track, but it was scary. I think the biggest crowd I've spoken in front of is about 30 people. So that was times that by about 10,000. Little overwhelming.
Yeah, you pulled it off though. You pulled it off really good. So that was
thank
good.
You.
Now you worked with Stephanie McMahon in that segment, and you know, she's probably the second most powerful person in the company, and I'm sure she can be very intimidating. Did she talk to you at all before or after the skit? And
you know what? They were Stephanie, Triple H, and Vince McMahon were amazing to me. Stephanie took me out to the ring. We practiced. Triple H and Vince gave me some suggestions. Vince pulled me aside and kind of just made sure. He said I had to tone down my facial expressions because I have very expressive eyes. So he pulled me aside and spoke to me. And Stephanie was so sweet. She made sure that each line I said properly and I was saying with the right expressions. She took me into her dressing room and we went over lines there. And they, all three of them, spoke to me after and congratulated me and hugged me. And it was seriously the best feeling in the world because I knew in my mind that there are hundreds of thousands of people that would kill to be in my spot and to be standing in front of those three, shaking their hands or giving them a hug or having them congratulate me, you know? So I just felt very, very honored, and it was a proud moment for me.
Now, I've talked to many wrestlers, and they'll always say how intimidated they were of Vince McMahon, just his presence. Could you say that he's the most intimidating person you've ever met, or how was he when we first met Vince McMahon?
Well, I know people say that, but, you know, I also wonder, do they say that because of who he is? Do they really, I wonder maybe if they say it, you know, because of how he acts and, you know, his physique, or do they say it because of how much power he has? Because when I met him, yes, it was intimidating, but it was intimidating because I hoped so badly that would be my future boss. Not because of, you know, how big he is or you know, what roles he plays on TV. He was really, really nice to me, and as was Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. They really weren't intimidating after you got over the fact of, oh my gosh, these could potentially be my employers in the future, right? They were really, really nice people, and they gave me some great advice, which I was thankful for.
Now, when you were one of the Rosebuds, was there? It's like it seems like everybody like plays a game on who you can spot in the Rosebuds.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Was there anyone else, any known indie wrestlers that were also part of the Rosebuds? I remember there was a, not that long ago, it just like Jimmy Jacobs was there, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Jimmy Jacobs was there.
Yes, actually, the Bollywood boys, I wrestle with them at ECCW, but they also are known in India. They're known all across Canada. They're known in the States. A lot of the WWE guys know that. So they were there with me, and they're the two nicest guys in the world. They're brothers, and their gimmick is the whole Bollywood thing. They come out with their cool leather vests on and flashy outfits, and they come out to Bollywood music. So that was it was really fun to do it with them.
Okay, that's cool. And now just recently, I believe maybe even just a couple weeks ago, I heard that you and a few other people received tryouts. How did that go?
It went well, but, you know, fingers crossed. Cross your fingers for me.
Now, did they was that in Canada or did you go down to Florida?
No, that was in Florida.
Or at the, I would assume it was at the complex.
Yeah.
And who did you work with there? Like, who were the trainers that kind of oversaw it? Was it like Demont or was it Sarah?
No, it was Bill Demont. I was hoping to see and meet Sarah, but she wasn't there. But Charlotte and Alexa Bliss were there, so that was really really cool to meet someone that's kind of in that position that you so badly want.
Well, hopefully it goes well.
I'm waiting on the call.
Now, you mentioned some of the places you work in Canada. Can you talk a little bit about some of the Canada indies and some of the companies you work for?
Yeah, so I work on the West Coast. So in BC, I work for ECCW, Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling. They put on amazing shows. They've got some really, really great talent, and they can kind of pick and choose, because they're such a great company, who they want on their shows. And they've got a good training facility, actually, as well. And then I work on the island for VIPW, which is close to my heart because that's where I'm from, Vancouver Island. And they put on such fun shows. It's kind of the matches that people really want to see, and the crowds are amazing. The crowds are always 100%, you know, cheering for you or booing for you. And then I also work for, well, I had one show so far with DOA, which is in Oregon, and they're a great company. I really love a lot of those guys. Other than that, there's a couple of companies more central that I work for, which is High Impact Wrestling. I wrestled on tour with them with April Hunter, and that was an amazing experience. That was my first tour ever. And then Prairie Wrestling Alliance, PWA in Alberta, and I've worked a couple shows for them. And Kurt, the promoter, is actually good friends with Lance. So that's kind of the company where a lot of people come out of Lance's and go into that or do their first match there, which is kind of amazing. So
You mentioned April Hunter, and more recently, for the most part, she's been, I guess her more biggest profile jobs lately have been as a manager in Shine.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months ago, they had like a big 10-man elimination match, and she actually took part with her group. And it blew my mind at why she's a manager, because she was so awesome in the ring. I was like, you know, why?
And people, when they see her wrestle, like, they're just drawn to her. She pulled me aside and got in the ring with me for a little bit when we were on tour, and kind of showed me a couple things that she does or a couple things that I could do because of the way that my body moves. And she was so helpful. I had a couple of matches with her, and she's great. Like, honestly, she was so fun to work with, and the crowd just loved her so much that it made the match so easy.
Now, speaking of when you wrestle, are you in Canada? Are you wrestling as a heel? Oh, don't worry about the timer. We're going to go a little longer.
Okay.
You kind of made me. Oh, I know what I was asking. All right, do you wrestle as a heel or do you wrestle as a babyface or both?
I was just, okay, so on the island I wrestle as a babyface because, of course, it's a lot of my friends, my family, people that know me. But for ECCW, I actually just turned face. I was heel for the past 6 months. So I kind of started out my indie career as a heel, which was hard because that's not necessarily what comes naturally to me, but now it's been a learning experience, and now I'm going to start working more babyface, and maybe I'll learn how to work as a better heel from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a preference so far? I know a lot of people seem to enjoy working heel.
I thought that I preferred babyface because I was thrown in as a heel, and it made me so nervous because I really didn't think that I could command the ring. But now I think... Oh, that's so hard to say. I'm 50-50, to be honest, because easier to work as a heel now that I understand how to be a good heel. But I do like doing things that get a pop, and I do like being cheered. So that's a little bit selfish of me, but, you know, I like that crowd reaction. I feed off of that.
That's cool. And right before I called you, I was on Twitter, and I saw a picture that you posted, and you're in phenomenal shape. So I have to ask you, what is your diet and workout routine like? Because I'm sure it's not easy to maintain that.
Yeah, I'm pretty strict with myself. I've been very strict with myself for tryout purposes. But I eat really healthy. I have my one cheat meal. I allow myself to cheat every now and then, but for the most part, I eat really healthy. I drink lots and lots and lots of water, and I work out 5 to 6 times a week, plus I have my matches. So, but you know what? It's more of a lifestyle now because I'm just so used to it.
Okay. And, like, as far as your, like, workouts, do you do more cardio, or do you hit the weights, or what? How does that part of the workout go?
I normally just do weightlifting, and I'll maybe throw in a day of cardio if I feel I need it. But leading up to the tryout, I mixed in a lot more high-intensity circuits, and I did a lot more cardio just to make sure that my cardio was at its peak. So I definitely, my cardio is at the top of its game at the moment.
Now, like I say, you've been only wrestling for a short time. What are your short-term goals? Obviously, your long-term goal would be to be in the WWE, but do you have any, like, goals to work for, like, maybe Shimmer or Shine in the States, or just, like, what do
yeah,
you want?
Yeah, that's definitely my short-term goals. I've tried to contact Shimmer, but I think I have the wrong email address, so I'll have to figure that out. And I have contacted some people at Shine, but I haven't heard back. But, you know, I would like to go out east and work for some promotions. There's a lot of really amazing talent out there, and some girls that are, they want the same things that I do. They want to be a diva. They want to be a knockout. So I would like to go out east and kind of meet them, shake hands with everyone out there.
Yeah, it seems like a really good period for indies women wrestling. There's so many promotions. You know, you have the main two, Shimmer Shine, then you have Queens of Combat, WSU. It just seems like there's more opportunities for women wrestlers to showcase their skills against, you know, more women, and have, like, plenty of all-women shows. So it's actually, you know, it's like, actually, I guess it would be a very exciting time to be a women wrestler.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
is there
it's amazing.
Is there any of the indie women that you would love to have a match with? Like, who pops, anyone that pops in your head, like, oh, I have to wrestle her?
Yes, let's see. There's a lot of them, but I really want to wrestle Tessa Blanchard. We met down in Florida, and she's a lot of fun, and we had a good time, and so we're gonna plan somehow for me to get down there so we can have a match.
That'd be awesome. She's I've seen her work once after hearing like a lot of good things about her. Because I know she's very inexperienced, but she seems like a natural, and she has a great pedigree, that's for sure.
Exactly, and we've both been wrestling for a really short amount of time, so I think we could have a good, simple match.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be great. And do you have any upcoming shows you'd like to plug?
At the moment, let's see, I have a show in Victoria, actually, in March, and I will post it on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/JadaProWrestler. I'll post all the information there, just so I don't want to give out the wrong information.
Okay.
But that's my next match, so I'm really excited to be back on the island.
How many matches are you doing, like, on a month for average, is there a funny, because I know that, you know, Lance always talks about some of the indies in Canada. Are you working quite a bit, or how long before matches do you usually take?
Before the new year, I was working once a week, once every 2 weeks, but it slowed down a little bit in the new year, so I'll have to kind of branch out and maybe do some shows with other companies coming up here. But it is, you know, it's fairly easy to get booked, maybe not as a wrestler, but, you know, if you can be someone's manager or something, just to get that feeling, get in the door and shake hands with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, being from Canada, and you mentioned Trish Stratus, I guess, would she be your idol, or?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. What was your, like, when you used to watch her wrestle, what did you think? I used to think that she, when she first started, honestly, she wasn't that great, but somehow she transformed herself after a few years into, like, one of the best women's workers I've ever seen. And
yeah, she was amazing, you know, like, she really busted her ass and trained and improved dramatically, and good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her and Lita, you know, I'm so glad that they're in the WWE Hall of Fame. They
deserve it.
Yeah. And nothing against, like, the Divas of today. It's just those two had something, like, really special. And, you know, I think, like, Paige kind of maybe can get to that level, I think. But, yeah, it's like those two were just, like, magic. And it's, you know, it's sad that they're gone, but at least you can appreciate.
Yeah.
I even got very teary-eyed when she won her last match against Lita and retired that one time. I mean, that was so awesome.
she's amazing, and it's nice to have someone like that to look up to.
Well, Chelsea, I want to thank you for taking the time to do the interview. I have one final question for you before I let you go, and that is
okay.
Right before the interview. I texted Lance, and I asked if there's anything that I should ask. And, of course, Lance has to put himself over, so he asked me to ask you, is how great is Lance Storm?
Lance Storm is the best, but I warn you, you better not get on his bad side.
Oh, he's chastised me on Twitter many a time.
Yeah, if you're on his bad side, you're going to get it from him.
Yeah, that's cool. Hopefully we'll get him back on the show pretty soon. But once again, I want to thank you for taking the time for doing the show. It actually went a lot longer than I thought. I had only planned to do like about 30 minutes or so, but you're such a great interview. I decided to go a little longer.
Thank you.
And hopefully we will see you in more places and doing bigger things in the future. And hopefully we can have you on sometime in the future when you become more established. And
yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome, and thank you. And we'll go ahead and end the show right now. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then. And, of course, I don't have the theme music, Keita. Oh, here we go.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up. Tonight.